the Science Talk Radio Show. I'm your host. Oh, what's going on? Here we go.
Okay.
Things are happening already, folks. Just bear with us, okay? Let's see if Michael will say hello. Say hello, Michael. That's our friend from the Skype line.
I was waiting for an answer on the other line. I'm like, oh, he's not responding.
Do you remember the same thing going on when we had Parascience at Hazy Radio?
Yeah, I remember you talking about it.
It's the same thing.
Yep.
That's strange. But anyway, welcome, everyone. We've already got our guest on the air already, Nicole Strickland. I call her the ghost girl of the Queen Mary. A lot of other people do, too. And joining me as my host here is Jack Oliver. He's a parascientist. He's a veteran investigator. Welcome to the program. I'm hearing some stuff in the back.
I don't know.
Oh, I know what it is. Hold on. Okay. That's better. Everybody here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I got to find Nicole again.
All righty.
Yeah, I'm here.
Nicole, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Well, welcome to the program. Say hello to Jack and say hello to Alex.
Hi.
Okay.
Hello.
Wow, we're so excited to have you.
Are you talking to me or you're, I don't know if you're talking to me or if you're talking to someone else or...
Well, I'm talking to you, but I'm hearing some stuff in the background, like someone's got their volume up. So I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to fix it. Weird things happen when we come on here. Weird things happen, so just bear with us here. It's better now.
Yeah, it's not on my end, so I don't know. Yeah.
It's better now, a lot better. Great. Okay.
Good.
Good deal.
Well, welcome, Nicole. You know how long it's been since I've seen you?
Oh, my God.
Remember,
I want to say 2009. Yeah, and it was at the Queen Mary, of all places.
At the Queen Mary with you and Todd, and I had a really good time, and I finally got to meet you. And I think I stranded my husband with you, didn't I? Remember, I was running after one of the San Diego ghost hunters to get into the shower area, in the pool area. Remember, I was getting ready to shut down, and he and I were running. It was hysterical. And there's Nicole and my husband way behind, like, she must be crazy. But we got in there.
I don't remember.
That was a long time ago, my friend. That was a long time ago. But Jack, have you ever met Jack before? I think you have.
Not in person, I don't believe. No.
No. We have obviously we're friends on Facebook and we've talked, Facebook. But no, I'd love to meet you one day, Jack. Yeah. Hopefully you can come out here or I can come out your way, and that would be great.
That would be.
Heck yeah, it would be.
Yeah. So tell us about your new book. Let's start off just there just a little bit. I just want to know the name of the book and direct people to your website before we go any further.
Absolutely.
So they can look
on your Parascience page, it listed my book as The Haunted Queen of the Seas, The Living Legend of the RMS Queen Mary. That is a book that I wrote about the ship, but I wrote it in 2010. So that is not the new book that we're going to talk about tonight. My new book on the Queen Mary, my second book on the ship, is called Spirited Queen Mary, Her Haunted Legend. And so that was published in late 2015. And I kind of equate it as a sister book to The Haunted Queen of the Seas. So The Haunted Queen of the Seas is basically a braided overview of the ship's very rich history, along with an overview of the ship's paranormal phenomena. So Spirited Queen Mary is... it delves more deeply into the spiritual phenomena regarding the ship. So it discusses more about its resident spirits, resident energies, hot spots on the ship, a little bit more in depth as to the theories for why the ship is haunted, along with many of my experiences and colleague experiences and that sort of thing. So my main reason for writing the second one is not just to highlight the ship's spiritual phenomena. That's part of it. But more importantly, I wanted to, by talking about the ship spirits and her energies. I hope to bridge those of her past with those, the people of her past with those of her present. So that's my goal for writing the second one. So, and I'm hearing something in the background. I don't know if people are typing or what, but it, I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, I think when we're not speaking, folks, we should probably, guys, should mute our mics, and I'll get mine muted, too, because there's a lot of interference coming, you know, and people can't focus. So I'm going to go ahead and let Jack take over, and I'm going to mute my mic.
Yeah.
Oh, there's Michael. Hi, Michael. Isn't that a trip?
Wow.
So can you say hi, Nicole? He said Nicole, killer.
I don't mean to be like Debbie. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but I probably, I have a feeling that that's something that can be explained away. So.
Really? I would like to find out.
Yeah, that's just
I would like
sense,
to figure out
you
how.
Know. Yeah, so.
I don't know. It was here 3 years ago. We didn't talk for 3 years.
No.
And then all of a sudden, there it is again. And it's the same voice. And it's, I don't know. I'd like to find out. If there's a way, I want to find out. I'm on. That's my mission right now, is to find out what's going on with that. I think it's a trip. But we've had the bell ring outside the bell, outside of the room. I've got this haunted bell. Did I tell you about that?
No.
Yeah, Jack sent me a bell. It rang at his house. I guess it came from a brothel or something. And I laughed when it rang. He got real mad because I'm going to send this to you. And so I've got it now. But it rings at his house, and his screen lights up. So it's in his house. It has to be, doesn't it?
I don't know, because that was given to me by an acquaintance of mine.
Yeah.
And I don't like getting, I didn't like it in the house. That's why I sent it to you to get from the get go.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reason I sent it to you. Whatever the spirit is, I mean, he's still around. And
yeah.
His trademark laugh is the same way every single time.
Yeah.
There's no deviation from it. It's weird.
And then we get a baby crying on here, and that's such a trip. It just has just been crazy. And I'd love, if anybody out there knows what we can do to figure out who's doing this, if it's not real, let us know. We want to know what's going on. I mean, you know, if we're being duped, we want to know. So,
well, I want to ask Nicole.
Go ahead.
I want to ask you, how did you get involved with Queen Mary? Go back to the first time that you got, you went there, and how did you get to be like an aficionado. I've read your book. I love your new book. It's awesome. But I want you to go back to the beginnings of when you first came there.
I wouldn't necessarily call myself an aficionado. I call myself, obviously we're all students of the paranormal, but I guess I specialize a lot in the Queen Mary, not just her spiritual phenomena, but obviously her history. This ship has such an unprecedented history, and I'm still learning, you know, accounts from passengers and former veterans and war brides and those who have sailed on the ship, crew members. So it's research, a constant ongoing research project for me and my team. But back in 2000, I was attending the University of Arizona as a college student, and my best friend Lauren and I decided to go on a cruise during spring break. So, and there's a Carnival cruise terminal right next to where the Queen Mary sits or is moored at Pier J in Long Beach. So I remember Lauren and I getting up in the morning of the day of our cruise, and her mother drove us to the cruise terminal. And I remember seeing my very first glimpse from the back seat of Lauren's mom's car of the Queen Mary, and I immediately at that point just felt such a connection, and I said to myself, and this was back in 2000, I said to myself, I will be back here someday. And that day came in 2005, and I remember parking my car and taking the elevator up and getting off on A deck where the hotel lobby is, and then I remember walking up the gangway and stepping inside of ADEC, and the first thing that I said to myself was, I have been here before. And of course I never have. it just was such a familiar environment and such a familiar place that it's, I don't know if there's a past life connection that I have to the ship or if it's more of just a soul connection. That's what I think it is. But ever since that point, I was just instantly fell in love with the Queen Mary, just connected very much with her soul. A lot of people have, actually, a lot of former crew, a lot of former passengers, veterans, even people today, modern day times, there are a lot of people that just have a very strong connection to the ship. For some reason, the Queen Mary draws you in. And it's just, I'm very devoted to the Queen Mary. So ever since, I've just been studying as much as I can on the history and learning about people's voyages and that sort of thing. So, and, you know, there are many reasons why the ship is haunted, and we'll get into that. But that's kind of the history of how I got involved with the ship. So
you kind of had a deja vu experience in the get-go, correct?
And in a sense, yeah, I would say it's similar. I don't know if it was exactly a deja vu, but it was similar. I just felt,
gotcha,
when I stepped inside, I felt, oh my gosh, this is so familiar, and I've been here before. So yeah, I guess you could say it was kind of like a deja vu, quite a strong feeling. But have you been, Jack? Have you been out to the ship before? Or I know that Gina and I have.
I have never been out. Yeah, I would love to come out to the ship. I mean,
yeah, it's definitely a must-see. And, I mean, this ship has so many layers of history and so many, I mean, millions of people have sailed on this vessel. So, I mean, she had, 31 years of peacetime voyage sailing. I want to say, well, I do know, 1,001 peacetime voyages to be exact. And then during the times of World War II, she was refitted in 1939, I guess her last peacetime voyage was August of 1939, I believe. And then for the entire duration of World War II, she served as a troop ship along with her sister ship, Queen Elizabeth, which sadly didn't make it. She sunk, I want to say Hong Kong, if I believe that's the place. Sadly, she sunk, but the Queen Mary had very various roles during World War II, not just that of a troop ship, but she carried injured soldiers to the United Kingdom. So she was a hospital ship at one point, and then she carried war brides and their children as well. So she's had many, 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 many layers of history with that vessel. So it's always an honor to talk about the Queen Mary. So I really love it.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, have known about that ship. And what would you think that would be haunted? I mean, I've heard stories of accidents there, people getting killed aboard the ship. Does that have something to do with it, or do you think the spirits come back because they love being on that ship? Or is it a combination of both?
It's a combination of many things, in my opinion, but you touched on something that's very important. You just said, is it people that fall in love with the ship, you know? That's one of my big theories. I think that, I mean, I've interviewed and talked with so many people that go to the ship and fall in love with the ship. So my theory is, and my question is, out of all the thousands of people that have sailed on the ship from 1936 until her retirement in 1967, out of all those, well, many of them have probably had connections to the ship like we do. Many of them have probably fallen in love with the ship. Do they choose to come back in spirit form to visit the ship? Is that a possibility? I think yes. Then, of course, you have the history. You know, you have the World War II times, and yes, you know, men succumbed during that time. Even during peacetime, there were crew and passenger deaths, sadly. So obviously history plays a part in it as well. Then you have the fact that, you know, she sits in water. Water is, you know, a conductor of electricity, so that can be almost like attracts spiritual energy. You have, I also feel that there's a psychokinetic link as well. So many people go visit the ship, and a lot of these people want to experience the hauntings, want to go on the ghost tours, want to be on the ship. So they're kind of projecting that energy onto the ship. So I think there's that psychokinetic reason as well. And then, you know, I want to mention a very profound theory. And he's actually an employee of the ship. He's a tour guide. His name is Tony Ashland, and he's also an amateur radio operator as well on guide, and or on board, I mean. And in 1964, he built a crystal radio made out of quartz crystal, copper wire, and an earphone speaker. So basically, he could connect that kit to a good grounding plane, and by doing that, he could pick up local radio stations without any major connection to a power source. So he kind of applied that knowledge to the Queen Mary, and he believes that the Mary's former first and third class pool acts as an audio-visual receiver, basically picking up images and sounds through time and space. And I talk about this in the new book, Spirit of Queen Mary. The pool ceiling is made out of a mosaic of quartz pieces, and also the ship has about 400 miles of copper wire that was used, obviously, to power her during her glory days.
Wow.
And then it's obviously, we know that it sits in water and is constructed out of steel, which provides that excellent grounding plane. Thus is Tony's theory,
yeah,
which I think is so profound, is his theory accurate? Is the former first and third class pool one huge crystal radio, both transmitting and receiving communication from the spiritual world? When I heard that, I literally had goosebumps all over my body, because that it fits so well. And the former first and third class pool is basically one of the huge hot spots of the ship. Many types of things occur in there. So, you know, so we have all these various theories, and does one apply more than the other? It's hard to say. I think it's a combination of many things. And I also think there's, you know, this elusive reason, too. I think that there may be reasons we don't even know as to why the Queen Mary is so spiritually active. So there you have it.
Now, as far as the spirits there on there, I believe possibly a lot of them are intelligent entities, and you think some of them are trapped there because that they've passed on and they're stuck there?
You know, that's a good question. One thing that comes to mind with that is during World War II, one of the ships, one of the Queen Mary's escort ships, the HMS Curacao, the Queen Mary, it was, in October of 1942. And so what happened is the Captain Boutwood, I believe, of the HMS Curacao, kind of made a slight miscalculation. And because of that, the Queen Mary kind of overran the HMS Curacao, hit it, and struck it in half. So over 300 of its sailors drowned as a result and or were sucked underneath Queen Mary by her massive propellers, and then sucked into the propellers, and, you know, the rest were dismembered. So there is a section for visitors now on the ship that's kind of cut out. It's the last remaining propeller on the ship, and that is an area, and I've interviewed many people that have gone in here, myself included, obviously. It just, feelings of despair, feelings of fear, feelings of sadness, all of that exists. It's an area that I do not like to go in. If I have to, I don't stay that long, because it's just so hard to deal with that. So I do think with the HMS Curacao, there may be a possibility that some of these souls are stuck on the ship. I would say another group that this could, sorry, I had a brain fart there. I had a long day at work.
Okay.
So. I couldn't take my sentence, but the other group I would say would be the Italian and German prisoners of war as well. A lot of them, many of them succumbed, many of them, and they're sadly during that time, their bodies were unceremoniously thrown overboard. So I would say for those two groups, there's a huge possibility very sad. It's very sad. And then I also would say that many energies, whether they're spirit or ghost, may choose to come back to the Queen Mary because of a connection to her, because they enjoyed the ship so much, or, you know, basically I was talking about that earlier. And then there are these entities, I would say, more earthbound than spirit, that some of them might choose to remain on the vessel. There's one in particular, I'm not going to mention his name, just for respect for the family, but his initials are JP. And so he was an 18-year-old fireman who tragically died in 1966 in the after engine room of the ship. Many intuitive people have felt or do feel that he is there by choice. And I, you know, I've interacted with this energy many times, many times, and I do feel that he is content where he is. I don't feel that he's suffering in any way. So, but yeah, that's a really good question. I think there's just so many different, you know, I think there's earthbound and there's spirits that come aboard, and I obviously think that there's a lot of residual energy too. So, yeah.
Yeah. I have a lot of problems with people that do investigations that refer to them as it or they or something. I always go on my investigations where I'm considering them. They're people. They're human beings. They're on the other side. They still have some feelings. And you go in, I don't care where you're going, what investigation you're doing, you treat them with respect, and you treat them as human beings.
Absolutely.
And you're going to get a lot more better things than going in there thinking, calling them an it or trying to classify them as, you know, something else. Go in with respect and speak with them with respect. Say hi to them.
I am so glad that you said that. I agree with you 200% on that. And it's not even a protocol. It's just common sense, you know, but how we operate, I've sadly in the past have had to get rid of a person because this person just was not getting the whole fact of being respectful and was into the whole provoking. And it's one thing to defend yourself. But, you know, a lot of these, I don't care, like, and I always say, I don't care what this person did in life or how this person was in life. This person is gone now. He or she has transitioned. And respect is absolutely how you should act at all times when working with spirits. And you're going to get better results with that. You know, a lot of people I hear, I got scratched or I get pushed. I've never really had that happen to me. I've had my hair tugged. I've kind of been tapped on the shoulder. I've been, you know, touched on the back. But I don't get a lot of disrespectful energy back toward me from the spiritual realm and my theory for that. And I don't even think it's a theory. I just think it's common sense. It's because I go in with such a positive and respectful attitude. So I'm really glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, a lot of people, they don't approach it that way. There's a lot of people out there that provoke. And something I want to touch on was, what was one of your most memorable personal experiences aboard the Queen Mary?
Oh, my gosh, I have so many. This is hard because I have so many. I will go back to JP, the young man that I was mentioning a couple minutes ago. I've had interactions with him. I've seen him kind of out of peripheral vision here and there. But in March of 2015, I was in the boiler room number 3. And I think it was more boiler room number 4, where there's a stage there. And it was during one of my colleagues' late night tours, and I was a guest on the tour. And I was just facing toward, I was facing forward. And I just kind of was not daydreaming, but just staring out. You know, he had a laser grid set up, so I was watching the grid, and I was just kind of staring out. And all of a sudden, I see this movement out of my right eye. And so I caught it, and I looked, and I happened to look right into the eyes of JP. And there is a historical photo of him. It's the ship documentation photo where his employee number is. You can see his employee number. And it was as if that photo came alive. I mean, just everything, the hair, the facial expressions, the eyes, everything. And when I looked, my eyes met his eyes. He kind of, I only saw from like his shoulders up, and I saw him kind of float toward me with a slight smile on his face, then float backwards and then just disappear. So that was one of the most recent memorable times on the ship. The other one,
wow,
there have been many, have to do with Jackie, the little spirit that is often talked about. There's some false information about her on the internet, just so everyone knows. No one knows her origins. No one knows, you know, even if she even has a connection to the ship at all. But she has mentioned that her name is Jackie. So, and as some people might know, some may not, the late Peter James, the late psychic Peter James, did a lot of work on the Queen Mary back in the 90s, and he first coined her. Whether or not she was there prior, I don't know. But very intelligent little girl, and just a sweetheart. And there was a show in October of last year, I'm not going to mention names, that made her out to be this horrific being. And I actually threw the remote across the room, and I actually started crying because it affected me so much, because I've worked with this spirit for like 10 years now, and she's anything but what they said on the show. And but anyways, I know I'm kind of going off on a tangent, but just a very, very sweet little spirit, very smart. I've seen her. She's very similar to like a Shirley Temple. I do believe that, yes, her real name is Jackie. In fact, one time we were doing an investigation in the former first and third class pool, me and another Southern California team, a couple of teams actually. And I remember asking, is your name Jackie? Is your name really Jackie? And then another investigator interjected and asked, or is it a name people call you? Well, we got a response, an EVP, not a disembodied voice, an actual EVP of Jackie saying, my name is Jackie. Some people hear it as my name is Jacqueline, and others hear it as my name is Jackie, but it is definitely her voice. I mean, her voice is, like, you know, after 10 years, you start to get accustomed to the different voices, and it's definitely her. So, yeah, anything with her is always a pleasure. But so those two stick out. Yeah.
Yeah, but I want to ask you a question. Everybody's talked about this before. Do you believe there could be any vortexes or portals on that ship at all, or other entities come and go on the ship?
Yes, I do.
I mean,
we can't prove it, right? It's not something we can prove, but I do believe,
yeah,
in my opinion, that the entire ship is a portal from, you know, our world to the spiritual world. You've probably heard of a woman's changing room in the former first and third class pool. There is an alleged portal in the center of the woman's changing rooms where a lot of people feel dizzy, disoriented, just don't feel comfortable in there. There's also another area that I've spent a lot of time in, and it's actually B deck forward, where there's a set of staircases that go down to almost to where the pool would be down. You would be on your way to the pool if you go down the stairs, but the stairs lead to the former third-class dining room, I believe, and then the former art gallery. And then up on B deck, you have the Carpathia room on your starboard side and the Coronia room on your port side. So that whole area, I feel, is another possible spiritual, like, passageway, if you will. A lot of people, the captain, of the honorary captain of the Queen Mary, has talked to me about that area. During the ship's sailing days, that whole part in front of the ship would just pitch at very high levels and then fall at, you know, very fast levels. And many people that stayed in those forward cabins would get sick or be fearful. And there was one story that he relayed where two people were positioned on one of the staircases near B deck forward, and they asked the captain, and oh my gosh, it's in my book, Spirit of Queen Mary. I forget the captain's name, but these people were like, when are we going to the lifeboats? And the captain was like, what do you mean? And they were just so afraid because the ship was just rolling, pitching and rolling. So apparently they got a tranquilizer and felt better afterwards. But still, I mean, that whole area, I think, is, I would say,
wow.
Yeah, that's
wow.
The women's changing room. But, you know, I think the whole ship, the whole ship is a bridge from our world to the afterlife. I mean, some people may think I'm nuts for saying that. That's fine. But I really do feel that there's a possibility of that. So, yeah.
Wonderful. But I believe Alex has a couple questions for you. Alex?
Sure.
Yeah, I've got a question about the hold, where the German officers were held, or the German soldiers were held. Do you still actually get activity down there?
You know, very good question. They, for the past few years, that the forward cargo hold has been closed, I think mainly due to safety reasons, but I have had the opportunity a few times in previous years to investigate the cargo hold. And I equate the energy and the feelings similar to where the propeller room is. There's a lot of despair, a lot of sadness. You can literally, when you're down there in the pit area, and we call it the pit, where it's like, 15 feet below water or something like that, very hard area to be in. And I remember on my first investigation there in the forward cargo hold, I remember asking a question to the spirits of POWs, and I remember saying or asking, is there anything that we can do for you? And later, the next day or the day after, when I reviewed my audio, I got an EVP of a male that sounded very frail, and he said hungry. And I just really, that really affected me. So there is a lot of activity. Obviously, now it's closed off, but in the past, yeah, a lot of activity reported in there. So, and there was, in that pit, there was like standing room only. And so bread and water were lowered down in buckets. Okay. And men were just so exhausted. They had nowhere to sit. They were packed in like sardines. Many of them just would succumb. It was hot down there. As you know, the Queen Mary didn't have air conditioning because she was designed for the North Atlantic run. So, you know, when the ship sailed in very humid climate, yes, it would get boiling hot down there. And sadly, a lot of these guys passed away, and they were unceremoniously just thrown overboard. It's pretty sad, isn't it? It's just horrific. So.
Are they ever going to open it up again, or are they going to keep that closed now?
You know, I'm not sure. That's a good question. I'm planning on going to the ship, I think, next weekend, so I can always ask. To my knowledge, from what I've heard, that they're not opening it anytime soon, so I don't know. I think it's mainly due to a safety concern, but there may be others as well, and so the management has just decided to close it off for now. So we'll see. Maybe they will open it. I don't know.
Yeah, because the only reason is I'd love to go in there and do that, because being half German as definitely something that I would love to do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'd like to get back in there too. I mean, I'm half Italian and part German, so it's like, you know, you really feel the connection.
Oh yeah, definitely. And the conference. When's the next conference coming?
For at the Queen Mary specifically.
Yeah.
Okay, they used to have the annual Ghost Fest at the Queen Mary, and those were put on by, I believe, Beyond Investigation magazine, Pat Wheelock, and then a former psychic that worked on the Queen Mary. Though the ship hasn't had a paranormal conference, to my knowledge, since about 2010, so I don't know if they're working on having any more. I know that's something that I myself and a couple of other people have talked about, but when I hear more, I'll let you guys know. But as of now, I don't know if there's going to be any. It'd be nice to have another conference there.
Nicole, I want to just ask you a quick question about your ability. Do you consider yourself an empath and a medium where you're able to communicate with these spirits?
I am an empath. I will say that I do have some intuitive ability. My big thing is just being more empathic. That's, I think, my strength. I have a little bit of occasional telepathic communication as well, but I don't call myself a psychic or a medium, not because it's, obviously not a bad thing. I would say, especially after working as a paranormal researcher and all these years, I think that my abilities have even gotten stronger. But my mom, so my maternal side of the family is quite intuitive. So my mom is, even though she doesn't like to admit it, and then obviously her mom, who's now passed. My team, San Diego Paranormal Research Society, we do work intuitively and scientifically. We like to blend the two. It's just a personal preference, I guess.
I know you're also a public speaker. Where do you speak, and do you talk about the Queen? Do you do it there on the Queen Mary? Tell us about that.
I haven't had any. Well, actually, I did speak on the Queen Mary at the last Ghost Fest. It was Ghost Fest 4. That's when we met. It was in 2009. I did speak back then, but for the past couple of years, I've gotten more into the whole speaking arena. So I do speak at conferences about the Queen Mary. Many of the conferences I have spoken at are about the Queen Mary. Also, a lot of local places in San Diego, like libraries and retirement centers, kind of local venues. I've done a lot of speaking. Actually, one of the local libraries in San Diego has asked us to develop a series of presentations about the paranormal along with their archivist, and so that's going to start in the spring, so we're going to be busy with that. But I enjoy it. I really do. And the next conference that's coming up is April 1st through the 3rd Seaside, Oregon Ghost Conference, so I'll be speaking there. I spoke last year about the Queen Mary. This year I'll be speaking about San Diego's haunted locations. But very, very awesome conference. The Pacific Northwest has some great teams out there. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's OregonGhostConference.com, April 1st through 3rd in Seaside, Oregon. Looking forward to it. I know. And then, another really good one, too, up there is the Port Gamble Conference. And that I was supposed to go last year, but I couldn't make it. But I'm going this year. I believe I'll be speaking about the Queen Mary. And that's in a little town of Port Gamble. It's like an hour away from Seattle. And it's supposed to be just an amazing little town. So I really look forward to that as well. Fun.
Something tells me that you're writing another book, or you're thinking about another book.
I'm writing another book. It's going to debut sometime in spring of 2017. So I'm working on that. And then I'm also working on a couple of other books as well, kind of keeping them under wraps for right now. But so I'm kind of doing three right now. And it's crazy.
You're busy with that.
I can share one of my beloved he would like it. My beloved cat, I am such an animal lover, and my cat Max passed away from sudden complications of cardiomyopathy on February 12th. I don't want to start crying. It's been a really rough few weeks, and he has a sister named Kaylee, and she's been very helpful. But he sadly passed away at 4:44 p.m. of all time, and it's been very difficult. But my mom and I are writing a short book to honor Max's legacy, and it's going to just talk about you know, his time here on Earth and talk about, it's going to be a book to help people during the grieving process when losing a loved, you know, fur baby. So it's going to be a short book, but so her and I are working on that. And then there are a couple that I haven't started yet, but I'm kind of in the planning stages for. So, yeah.
Now, I do know that you work a lot with Dale Kaczmarek. We just had him on a couple of weeks ago. Boy, he's fantastic. I love Dale. And he's been talking about your book a little bit. And I guess you've written some books. Yeah, you've written some books with him, haven't you?
Yeah, well, actually, his publishing company I love, because it's a small publishing company, and it's specifically on books about the paranormal. And I met Dale, actually, when was it? I want to say it was 2008, late 2008, early 2009. Yeah, and it was at a conference up in Northern California, oh, actually Central California. And so my first little book, you know, I've grown a lot as a writer since then, with him was Field Guide to Southern California Hauntings, very small little book. And then after that came The Haunted Queen of the Seas, The Living Legend of the RMS Queen Mary, and then Spirited Queen Mary, my latest book on the ship, was published also. So all three of those were published through his publishing company, Ghost Research Society Press. Yeah. So I absolutely adore Dale. You know, I consider him a mentor, all around great guy. So
he is very.
When did you have him on? Was it just last week?
We got the archive to the show if you want to listen to it. Yeah, we had it a couple of weeks ago, right, Jack?
Oh, yeah, we sure did. I'll catch the archive this weekend. That would be great to listen to it. But, I'm hoping to go to Gettysburg with the GRS team this summer. So I'm looking forward to seeing them all again. Oh, and I've done a lot of SoCal research for Dale and the team, but as of a few days ago, I'm now the California coordinator, state coordinator, so I'm excited about that. Yay! So,
wow, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I know, I'm excited.
We've got a couple of people that want to say hi to you and maybe ask a question about the ship. Are you up for a phone call or two?
Totally.
Okay, let's see.
Bring it on.
Okay. All right, we got area code 619. You're live on the air with Nicole Strickland.
It's for you. Hold on.
Yeah. Sure. Just turning down the volume.
Hello?
Hi there. Is this
Hi, how are you? Yes, it is.
I guess you're here. Yes, you have a question for Nicole about the Queen Mary?
Sorry. What's your name?
Irene.
Irene. Hi, Irene. Nice to talk to you.
Same here. I just was wondering if you guys see anything like my loved ones or, you know, that passed away?
On the ship, you mean? Like of my loved ones or?
No, my loved ones that passed away.
You know, no, actually, I have not. Maybe one day I will. I go to the ship like two or three times. Well, I usually average like two times a month, but so maybe I will. Is this? Let me see here.
Yeah. If you're wanting a meeting
from
me.
Irene, are you one of the people that I interviewed? I'm sorry.
No.
No? Okay. What's your last name? I didn't interview you, right? I'm trying to think. Your name sounds familiar.
Green tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. I have not come into contact with any of your loved ones. Maybe someday. I don't know.
Could anyone of you guys tell me?
You know what, ma'am? Let me tell you something. My name's Sheena Weblake, and I also have another show on Monday nights where we give readings. And I'm a medium, and I'd be happy to do that for you. If you can call in Monday night, I'd be happy to talk to you about that.
Okay. And will it be the same number?
Yes. Actually, it will be.
So Monday night.
I'll talk to you about that. And Monday night we'll definitely discuss that. I'll give you what I'm getting. I'm getting stuff, but I want to reserve that for that show. Okay?
Okay. What time Monday night?
I look forward. 8 o'clock on Monday night, same place, right here.
Okay, I really appreciate
California
it.
California time?
Yeah, so we're... Yeah, California time, what would that be, Nicole? 5?
Well, what time does your show start on Monday?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, it would be, yeah, so we're 3 hours behind, so it would be at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock, okay.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
That's okay. I saw it for a loop because I thought, well, is this someone calling in that I interviewed? And I, yeah, so sorry about that.
It's okay. Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
God bless you. Bye.
Okay. We'll talk to you then, Eileen. Have a great evening.
And, Nicole, I wanted to, you know, when I first found out about you lost Max, I have 3 cats now, and we lost one of our other cats, our first cats here. And it's like losing a family member to get that close to you. I just want to put that out there because I know about losing our cat, one of our cats.
It's horrible.
It tore our whole. We went for maybe 2 or 3 years before we even got another, you know, found another cat. You know, and all our cats were feral. We took them in, got them their shots and stuff. But I can relate to you there, hon.
Yeah, I cried. It was the worst thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was worse than a person.
Yes, I agree.
But I told my husband, I immediately, like 2 weeks later, got a Persian kitten, and it kind of eased the pain a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But I still got her. But I know how horrible it is when you lose a pet. I mean, they're part of our family. They're our babies, you know, especially if you don't have kids.
Yep.
I don't have any kids, so they're my babies, you know? Is she still here? Nicole? I think we lost Nicole.
Did we?
I believe we did, Nicole. Could you call back in? Or I'm going to Skype. I could Skype her. Let's see if we can Skype Nicole for whole folks.
Get her back in here. We must have lost her.
Alex, while I'm trying to get her, would you tell the people about the new website?
Oh, the new Parascience website.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been set up. We've got it running now. And that's at Parascience. I've got to remember myself now. I think it was parascience.esy.es.
There we go. There we go.
And, we'll have, when we do the shows, we'll have the archives up on there as well. I finally got my archives to work. So.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to call Nicole on Skype. I don't know if she's prepared for that. But if you can, Nicole, could you please call back into the show? 646-668-2392 is the number. Give us back. I can't believe you lost. That's crazy. Well, get all back. So, Jack, while we're waiting for Nicole to come back, why don't we talk about your latest investigation, the one you just did?
Which one were you referring to?
That real big, beautiful home. I don't know if it was a museum or...
Oh, the Steamboat Museum.
Yes.
The Howard Estate there, yeah. They were the first ones here in Jeffersonville that kind of was the big, huge money-making family. They were rich. They had a lot of money here. They brought in the boats and steel industry. They were the one to bring in Jeff Boat here in Jeffersonville. So they were very well known around this area. But their house is elaborate. If you're ever down here, we could go in it sometime. It's beautiful. It's also rumored to be haunted.
Yeah.
I actually was able to have access to the basement, you know, and I got one picture that I actually had Alex here analyze. And, we couldn't really come to a conclusion on it. It was a very interesting picture. But the rest of my pictures that I took, we got 40 or 50 of them throughout the house, I got nothing.
Really?
Yeah. Supposedly the basement, the top man with the top hat is seen walking around in the basement. So,
oh, wow.
I would love to go back and do an all-nighter there and have maybe 2 people on each floor going up, you know, and try to lock it down and pick up on some stuff. And I bet you if we were there with equipment, we could probably pick up on a lot of activity there. But they want, like, I think it's $500 for an overnight. It's only 4 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you get to go in for free, or did you have to pay the money?
I had to pay $7 to take the tour.
That ain't bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, she takes you up, and you could just take as many pictures, but you got to be careful because some of the paintings are so old, flash can actually damage them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had to relegate to not using flash in some instances.
Wow.
So I had to just take baby steps, and I was taking pictures of everything. And, it's a good location. If I had the money, I wouldn't mind really investigating it.
Yeah,
The guys there have had personal experiences inside the building.
Wow.
And took me to the hot spots, and, you know, I took pictures.
I've got Nicole back on the air, guys.
Awesome.
Nicole, are you there?
I've been trying to call you guys. Hello, can you hear me?
Really?
Okay.
It hasn't come up. I've been waiting. It's okay. It's blog for you, you know.
Yeah.
So,
are you there?
Yeah.
Hello?
Can you not hear us?
Can you hear us,
I can
Nicole?
Hear you. Can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
we can hear you.
Hear
uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Just fine.
You can
You're
hear
back
me.
On the air. You're back on
okay.
the air.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to call in, and no one was patching me through. So I was like, hello.
I didn't see you coming through. I'm sorry. You just now popped up. But anyway, I've got one more caller, and I think it's a friend of mine from 918. Let's see if Bonnie has a question tonight. Bonnie, are you there? She's probably got her headset down or something. We'll come back to her, I guess, if she, in a minute. Bonnie, did you want to say something? Hello? Well, I guess we can come back to Bonnie. Usually has good questions. Are you there, Bonnie?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
There you are. I'm sorry, Bonnie.
I had my mute button was pushed. I apologize.
Do you have a question?
I had a couple questions for Nicole.
Sure.
Wanted to find out,
okay.
Number one, found your I'd love to read your book. It sounds really interesting. I was in Long Beach many times and never was able to go aboard the Queen Mary. But I wondered, is it still open for tourism?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's a hotel on board. It has many different tours, historical ones as well as paranormal ones. There are a couple paranormal, if you're into the whole like paranormal investigation aspect. There's late night weekend tours that start like Friday and Saturday that start at 11 p.m. and then Sunday at 10 p.m. And then there's a paranormal ship walk tour, which is really neat because you get to go to various areas and learn about the history as well. And that is a great, I really recommend that one as well. That is, I'm not sure if it's a set night of the week. I think it varies, but I usually starts at around 9:30. And then there's also a Dining with the Spirits tour. So you eat a very elegant meal at Sir Winston's restaurant, followed by, during that time, they also talk about some of the spiritual activity on board. So, but there's historical ones too, and you can even kind of go around with headsets and go on your own pace and learn about the different historical events that have taken place. So,
sounds really fun.
Yeah. Awesome.
I also wanted to ask you, where could I find your book?
Well, I actually have some copies. I can always mail you one. We can discuss this, you know, when we get off the call. Or if they're also available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. So you can just go online and get it as well, too. So that might be easier.
Nicole, tell me your last name, please, so I have your
Strickland, S as in Sam, T-R-I-C-K-L-A-N-D as in dog.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
have a great
and Bonnie, and Bonnie, what? Her web address is www.spirited-ghost-girl.com.
Actually, that's a website that is still up, but it's fine. I don't really use it.
You don't use that anymore?
Well, it's up, but it hasn't been really been updated as much as the other sites.
I thought it was mine. Okay.
Oh, which site do you use? What is it?
The most updated one. Well, I have one on the Spirit of Queen or on the Queen Mary. I can give you that one, but the other one is all one word: www.sandiegoparanormalresearch.com.
Okay.
And the Spirited Queen Mary one is just www.spiritedqueenmary.com, all one word on that.
Oh, are you in San Diego?
Yeah, I'm in
really?
San Diego. I live in, yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Are you,
my daughter
you,
lives there.
Oh, well, that's great.
So I'll be coming out to see her next year. That would be so fun if we could all do a trip up to Long Beach and see
the
Queen Mary.
That would be awesome. Keep in touch. Keep in touch for sure. I go up all the time, so.
All right. I will. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, Bonnie. I feel
really
I see a road trip in our future. Huh? I see a road trip in our future, Bonnie.
I do,
we
too.
We live in the same town. Yeah, that'd be
mm-hmm.
fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
really
do it, for sure.
Yeah. She's wrote, how many different books have you written about the Queen Mary? Like three all total?
Two total, but there might be a third. I'm just saying there may be a third. So not that's all I'm going to say. But, yeah, two.
Okay.
It's been incredible. I've enjoyed it all.
Well, I know I've read your book, and there's a lot of passion in this book, and there's a lot of love and dedication to this, so you know.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
That means a lot. I really, you know, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into both books, but this one as well, and the new one, and yeah, it's pure love that went into that. So thank you for saying that. That makes me feel good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful book. I love it, and as you come out with them, I'm going to order more signed ones from you. So. Just
yes.
Be ready.
Oh, awesome. Oh, I sure will. Yay.
He was so excited when the book came out. You should have heard him. Oh, my God, I'm getting Nicole's new book. I mean, he got it before.
Oh,
right,
that's
first
awesome.
Out. Remember?
Yeah.
Like, I want a signed copy. He was really getting really, when is she going to answer my email? I really want a signed copy.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
Yeah.
I think I was a little I was a little late in sending it to you, but it finally got there, so I'm glad you've enjoyed
it. It got here. I love it.
Yeah.
It's a very fascinating book. And,
awesome.
And keep doing more on it because I'll continue buying your books.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
I have no problem with
so
that.
No,
but
great.
I'd like to get you on again and talk about the Whaley House as well at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, I know the history of the Whaley House and I've been there several times. I haven't actually investigated the house, you know, officially with my team. It's just, it's very expensive and there's a lot of areas that where you really don't have good access to, but my team and I have investigated a lot of other cool spots in San Diego, like historical spots. So, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd love to come on again. I'd absolutely love to come on again. Just let me know when and I'll be there.
Yep. Now a question I have, I've heard that, is it true that California has certified the Whaley House as authentically haunted? Is that true or not?
I believe yes. Yeah, so I think it's listed. I forget the source, but that's why I think that it gets so much attention because, of course, you know, the Whaley House, I believe, does have a lot of activity. You know, people have seen apparitions of the Whaley family and other energies as well. But there's a lot of other houses, I should say, in the United States that I would definitely say rival that of the Whaley House. I mean,
gotcha.
Yeah, but it is listed, I believe. Absolutely.
We'll have to have you on again and talk about some of the other stuff. We can always come back to Queen Mary again. We want you to play a reoccurring role on our show.
Oh, I would love to. Yeah, you guys are awesome.
Good.
Thank you so much for having me. I really had a good time. Sorry I was a little hectic. I worked long hours today, and I was, like, rushing home. I'm like, I don't want to be late for the show. And I apologize for not getting any audio clips, but we'll make sure to have those for the next time.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Yeah.
But we want to thank you again for having you on our show. Well, there we go, folks. Nicole, take care of yourself, and we'll be in touch. We'll have you back on, honey.
Sounds good. You guys have a great weekend. Talk to you soon.
You too. All right. Good night.
Bye. Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye. Huh.